And let us turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 as we continue in the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, a church where he never got to visit physically, from our understanding. And we will read Colossians 1 verse 24 through chapter 2 verse 4. So let us hear together the word of Almighty God from Colossians chapter 1 through chapter 2. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and for those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord, as we have been seeing, Paul writes to the Colossians, a church which had a third generation pastor preaching and teaching to them. And he says here at the beginning of chapter 2 that he has a great conflict, a great desire, for as many as have not seen my flesh in the face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches and full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And so Paul says, I want to have fruit in the future church. And of course, we know that the large part of the New Testament was written by Paul. He wrote 17 epistles. That he wrote many things for us to know and to understand. I'm sorry, 7 epistles, not 17. That we would be. Notice, we have not seen Paul's face in the flesh. And so this letter is addressed to you and I, as much as it is to the Colossians at that time. And we are to be encouraged, that we are to be knit together with God's church in love, and that we would have full assurance of all the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. This is a mystery which has been hidden from the foundation of the world. And Paul has the desire to bring this to you and I. And we rejoice in his having brought it to us. And another thing to think about as we open this passage, he says, I rejoice in my sufferings. How many of us say, oh great, I have an opportunity to suffer? What's our response? It hurts. Paul says that suffering for a good cause is well worth it. How many of us would say that we would die for this nation and for the freedoms that we have here? We have greater, better in Christ Jesus. If you know the battle hymn of the Republic, it makes that comment. He says, Christ died. I forget exactly how it goes. Christ died to bring salvation. Let us die to make men free. I think that's how it goes. And the point being, we have greater joy, greater freedom in Christ than we ever will have on this earth, even though we certainly rejoice in a country in which we have great freedoms. Suffering for a good cause, and by the way, we know that Paul died for the gospel. He did not just suffer, and we've been told by Paul writing to the Corinthians the many different things which he suffered. He was near death a number of times. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten to the fullest extent of the Jewish law a number of times. Suffering for the purpose of the gospel is well worth it. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is the joy and wisdom of bringing the mystery of the gospel to the next generation. The joy and wisdom of bringing the mystery of the gospel to the next generation. And we look at verses 24 through 29, and we see Paul revealing the mystery of Christ hidden from the ages. And in verses 1 through 4, we see that Paul seeks to bring assurance to the next generation of believers. So first of all, revealing the mystery of Christ hidden from the ages. He says, as we've just noted, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. There are things more important than our own comfort. We turn on the Learning Channel or DIY, or we turn on the Food Channel. Oh, we have to have the best house, the most comfortable food. Paul says, I rejoice that I can suffer to bring you the message of the gospel. Far more important than our own suffering is the spreading of the gospel. So many people today are working for their own comfort rather than things that are eternally worthwhile. Reading in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. Paul says, we are to build on the foundation of Christ with stuff that's going to get last, that has eternal value. And gathering stuff on this earth where moth and rust corrupts and thieves break in and steal isn't going to gain us much. He says, I'd rather suffer for the gospel so that you can come to that fact. As he says later on in the passage, teaches every man in all things, warning every man that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul's goal was not just, hey, I got a few people together, we'll be okay as a church. Paul said, I want everybody to know the gospel and be perfected in Christ by the salvation which he gives. And then Paul says something that always troubled me. To fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Now, what is Paul saying here? Is Christ's sacrifice incomplete? No, we know that from the rest of Scripture. So what's he saying? He says, God desired to bring the message to these people and to you and I. And part of getting that there meant Paul had to suffer. And that's okay. That's a good thing, Paul says. To suffer so that others may have the gospel. That by this, Paul would fill up what was lacking in Christ's sufferings, because there needed to be more suffering to bring that gospel. And we have to understand that certainly Jesus suffered for us. Our salvation is complete. But the message of the gospel hasn't been brought to every nation, to every person on earth, as Luke puts it in the Great Commission, as he said, as he heard it, that the gospel is to be preached to every creature on earth. And Paul says, I am willing to suffer for the sake of the body of Christ, which is the church, for the spread of the church to the ends of the earth. On the way down to camp, we listened to biography of Jim Elliot, who went in South America to preach the gospel. He went to a particularly isolated tribe and made contact with them. And he died. He was killed by them. Was that the end of the story? Those of you who know the story know that later on, the fact of that gospel that he had brought was brought into those tribes. And his own wife and the wives of the other men who were there, who were also martyred for the gospel, brought the gospel to them. What an awesome thing. But they knew that it was good and okay to suffer to bring the gospel to those who have need, to love them in that way. We, too often in our culture, become at ease. And Paul says, I am not at ease. I am driven to bring the gospel. And we as Christians ought to be driven to bring the gospel to the world around us. Paul says, I'm revealing the mystery which has been hidden from the ages. He says, of which I, Paul, became a minister according to the stewardship from God given to me for you. His ministry was a stewardship from God. You and I have received the ministry of the gospel through Paul. And it is a stewardship to us. And to young men, to be called by the need of the gospel, the need of preachers of the gospel who will preach it in its truth. The ministry of the word is a stewardship given by God. It is not just an opportunity, it is a duty. Each one of us has that duty. The Great Commission doesn't just send forth a few particular people. The Great Commission says, as you are going along your way, preach the gospel, evangelize, teaching people to obey all that I have commanded you. In our way of life, it ought to flow out of us that we are Christians saved by the grace of God. And Paul says, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. The word of God who dwelt among us, the fact of Christ, was revealed all the way back in Genesis 3:15. Immediately as God is bringing the curse in the fall, we read, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Of course, we have the kernel form of the gospel right there. It was not understood. Of course, when Eve conceived, she assumed that Cain was going to do this. Didn't work out so well. Of course, the mystery was not revealed and not understood as well by the Israelites. They had all the writings of God, and as we read them in the Old Testament, we can understand what God is saying. But we need the spectacles often of the New Testament to understand that. But it was not understood by the Israelites, so much so that they made a works religion out of it. And sadly, even today, it is not understood by the majority of churches. Please understand that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're going to get into that as we get a little further down here, preaching Christ. He has now been revealed to His saints. We have that gospel in its fullness, walked upon this earth. The very Word of God made flesh, as the writer of the Hebrews says. This is revealed to salvation that God has sent to every one of us. And it is to be preached to every creature. To them, God willed to make it known that you and I have heard is God's will. That God worked it out throughout history. You have to understand that the majority of people, the majority of the billions of people on this earth have not heard the gospel truly. It is an awesome thing that it has been preached to us and many of us from the day of our birth. What a great and awesome gift. And brothers and sisters, it ought to flow out of us. But we're afraid because somebody might think that we're speaking out of turn, might get angry, might get hurt. Brothers and sisters, the truth is the whole world around us lies under the slavery of sin. We have the answer. Why would we not speak it to them? The riches of the glory of salvation. God shows His glory by saving those who are sinners. And of this mystery, even among the Gentiles. Of course, I don't know of a single one of us here, and I've not checked closely, who has Jewish background. God has brought that message to you and I. Again, how awesome, how wondrous. Because our background, for most of us in Northern Europe, was tree worship and sun worship and junk like that. But God has brought this message of the gospel to you and I. Notice that the Bible does, and I think you heard this from Reverend Bowen a couple of weeks ago, the Bible does speak very much to racial and cultural divisions. We have to understand that the difference between Jew and Gentile was far greater than the difference between colors in our culture today. The Jews hated the Gentiles. And now in the New Testament, God says there's no difference. And this was a great divide in their mind. We need to realize the gospel is for every person. No matter what division. It was very disappointing to me when I was over in the Congo. We perhaps have heard of the Pygmies, people that are barely 4 feet tall. And they're considered subhuman by the rest of the people in the Congo. Sub-sheep, by the way, actually. And they need the gospel. No matter what our relationship is, of anger, of hatred, of enmity. They need the gospel. We need the gospel to bring to them, to bring the riches of His glory. This mystery, which if it was hidden among the Jews, which had the Old Testament, how much more among the Gentiles, among our forefathers? It is the gospel for all people, to all who believe. God doesn't discriminate on externals. God discriminates on what's in our heart. What do we believe? Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Those who don't will not. He has revealed Christ to us, Christ in us. Excuse me, our salvation given to us and our hope of glory. We have a hope of eternal life that we can't even begin to imagine, given to us because of what Christ has done for us. And that's the message that we preach, preaching Christ. Him we preach. Jesus is the subject of our preaching. So many other places have gone other directions, preaching all sorts of man-made ideas. But we need the gospel as God reveals to us. Reveals it to us in His Word. And notice where He goes. Warning every man. The first thing we need to know is the danger that we're in. We need to be warned of judgment. We need to be warned of the fact that God will bring every work into judgment. Because if we don't know that, we will not be driven to our knees in need of a Savior. Warning every man. This is one of the first things, as we've been talking about, and we haven't gotten to it much this summer, for which I'm very, very sad, in our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class, is we need to start by looking at people and saying, have you failed? Have you sinned? And showing them that they have. Because every one of us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And teaching every man. The great commission sent the disciples, and by extension us, into the world to preach the gospel. And the third point of the great commission is teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching. We all need teaching. I've been pushing discipleship. We as a congregation need to work through discipleship, training up young people. Not just the pastor, but grown-up Christians training young Christians, and that doesn't mean just young little people, but young Christians in their faith. And that's not just the problem of mom and dad. That is a whole body of church working together. This was one of the things that the Deaf Church that I got to be somewhat involved with in Chicago was actively seeking to do, to pair up people with young Christians, to show them the ropes. Because this isn't natural. The Christian walk is not natural for us. And we need training. We need bringing up, fetching up. Because our first reactions are wrong, almost 100%, without training in those facts. He says, teaching every man, going on, in all wisdom. We need training in wisdom because man's wisdom is not God's wisdom. It is the opposite of what we know naturally. Reading a little bit there in 1 Corinthians 1, for the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Whereas the disputer of this age, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. That we need our brains transformed. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. By the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? By walking along with the rest of the world around us? Is that going to renew things? It's going to be transformed by God's Word. And so, as Paul writing elsewhere says, bad company corrupts good morals. We need to put ourselves around those who are fellow Christians and better Christians than ourselves to seek to emulate what they do. I heard the old, I think it was Zig Ziglar line spoken a couple of days ago. It says, when you are looking to become the best at something, you don't look for someone who's failing at it. So you don't, when you're looking to save money, go to somebody who's broke for advice. And as well in Christianity, when you're looking to grow as a Christian, you don't go to somebody who's broken their Christianity. You look for someone who has a stronger walk of faith than you. He says that we may present every man. We are to bring the gospel to the world with the desire that everyone would come to faith in Christ. That's what Paul says. Every man. And that they would thus be perfect in Christ Jesus, despite their sins, despite their unworthiness. And brothers and sisters, that's the message for you and I. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I think often we need to learn the gospel. Another reason that I want to go through the evangelism explosion thing is just to train ourselves in the basics of the gospel. Because I think it's gotten lost among the trees too often. And to this end, I also labor the eternal salvation of souls, striving according to His working, according to God's working, which He works mightily. God is the one who works. We heard that in our call to worship, that God's the one who protects. He's our refuge. And you and I, brothers and sisters, as well, as we think about bringing the gospel to those around us, God is the one who gives us the words. And that doesn't mean that we don't study and learn ways of doing it. But brothers and sisters, don't fear that because we stumble and stutter, God can't get His message across. Think about Moses. He said, I can't talk good. And God said, who gave you the mouth? God can use our stuttering, stammering words to bring His gospel. And Paul seeks then to bring assurance to the next generation of believers. We're going to try to make this into a movie quick. Paul's earnest desire is to be used to bring assurance and understanding of the gospel to the next generation. He says, I want you to know what a great conflict I have, what a great push and desire I have to bring the gospel to you. He says, for those in Laodicea, for those in Colossae, as many as have not seen Paul's face in the flesh. His desire is to bring the gospel to you and I. And that's why his letters were written down and brought forward so that you and I could hear. So that their hearts may be and our hearts may be encouraged. Because guess what? Living as Christians in this world can be very discouraging. Our hearts are to be encouraged by the gospel. We live in a world that is hopeless around us. But we have the answer to that hopelessness of eternal hope. To be knit together in love. We are one body of Christ as the church. And by the way, that spreads beyond the doors here to the doors of to the churches of the RCUS, to other churches like Precious Faith, but to every true Christian. We have to understand that. We are brothers and sisters, and we are to be knit together with them. We need to encourage many of them to read their Bibles and to study it. As I've said, I'd rather argue and discuss Christianity with someone who disagrees with me but is heartily trying to understand the Bible than someone who has made their decision without the Bible. This is one of the reasons that we do catechetics, catechism, to have a full assurance of understanding. Assurance comes through knowing what God says. And we have a summary in the catechism. And so we teach that. And by the way we teach it is the old classical method of schooling. Some of you went to, or even taught in one-room schoolhouses. What did you do? You did it by memorization, didn't you? Our schools today have thrown that on the ash heap of history. And I'm sorry, that is a failure. That is bad. You don't know anything you've never memorized. And so, the next generation needs the gospel. And by the way, I think there's a parallel for some of us. Some of our children aren't here in church and don't find church of value. But they're raising grandchildren. And part of our goal would be, perhaps, if our children aren't following Christ, to teach the gospel as well to our grandchildren. I know that brings very difficult thoughts and hearts to many of you. But brothers and sisters, that the gospel would go forward to the next generations. And there's danger of deceiving words, of persuasive words all around us. People around us can talk good talk. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand the truth. Because the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. I say this lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, he says. There are many people who talk a good game, but they're all confused. We often even tell ourselves false things, thinking they're true, because they feel true to us. But we need to be bound by the Word of God as the truth. That is the standard. Not our feelings, not what the world around us tells us, but God's Word. Our eyes can be deceived. I don't want to go deeply into it. When I took psychology in college, and they like to show you these pattern things that the stairway goes around in circles and there's no top or bottom, right? Our brain tries to make sense of it. Guess what? Our brains get confused. Our eyes can be fooled. That's why we don't need a picture book of the gospel. We need the Word of God made flesh, dwelt among us. The truth of God's Word preached to us. Over against that we would be steadfast as opposed to that we would be deceived by these persuasive words. Paul says, though I am absent in the flesh, that Paul, though he cannot be close to us physically, that we have his encouragement to us as Christians through the Word of God, through the Bible, through his epistles. He says, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see you, your good order, that the church would be orderly, following after the pattern of Christ, the pattern of Paul before us, and that we would be steadfast in the Word of God, in Christ, steadfast in the gospel against the lies of Satan, against the persuasive and deceiving words of the world around us, that we would be assured of our salvation, not because we have done anything worthy, but because Christ, our Savior, is worthy. That mystery of the gospel that we have talked about from the beginning of the sermon all the way through here is revealed to you and to I. That the good news of Jesus Christ is the answer, the truth, the gospel. And Paul says, I rejoice even to suffer if I have to bring that gospel to you. And brothers and sisters, I pray that we would be ready and willing to suffer if necessary to bring the gospel to the world around us that needs it so badly. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel brought to us, the good news of Jesus Christ brought to us through the generations, from the witness of Paul to us by his sufferings and even by his martyrdom, that he willingly died to bring the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we would not be those then who shun a little difficulty, shun a little hurt for the purpose of the gospel. We pray, Lord, help us to be those who live your good news in our lives, in our words, so that others around us may see the grace of God to us sinners. We pray, Lord, that you would spread your gospel to the ends of the earth, the good news of your Son, our Savior, through us. And Lord Jesus, that we would be reminded of the wonder of your gospel, even as we consider Paul's adamant desire to bring that gospel forward generation upon generation. We praise you that you have given him that ability through the epistles. And we pray, Lord, ourselves, that your gospel would be brought through us to our children, to our grandchildren, and to generations following. For we pray these things in Jesus' name, praying the prayer which he himself taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.